verse number 1. We are moving through the book of Genesis on Sunday morning for the time being. And the title of this study, this movement through Genesis, we're calling In the Beginning, considering those first four words of the Bible. In the beginning, God. Genesis 1:1 tells us, In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And I have really felt like the Lord has brought us to this study. And the Lord has brought us to the book of Genesis. And the Lord has been leading us in the lessons and in the messages, probably for more than any other reason, but to reacquaint us with God. You have people who are raised in church, people who go to church all their lives. Sometimes it ends up they don't know God. They don't know the God of the Bible. They can't justify their belief in God. I believe we're living in a day and time where there are more and more who don't believe in God, more and more who claim not to believe in God. And many of those people you're going to find in our Baptist churches. Is it possible for there to be an atheist who goes to church every Sunday? Yes, it's possible. Yes, it's possible. Is it possible to go to church every Sunday and think you believe in God and think you know about God, but you really don't? Yes, it is. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God was. Time began. Creation began. That is what In the Beginning is speaking of in Genesis 1:1. But In the Beginning is not talking about the beginning of God. In the beginning, God was. God is eternal. And people need to understand that. God is eternal. Before there was anything, before there was anything else, before God created these things we're looking at in Genesis, God was. Before there was even matter, God was. God is. God is eternal. In the beginning, God created. We have seen in that statement is the truth. That in the beginning God did these things, and God is witness, and God bears witness to these things. These things we're reading in the book of Genesis is the Word of God. This is God giving record of Himself. Genesis is God breathed. We believe, given through the prophet Moses, as all five of the first books of the Bible. But in the beginning God was. In the beginning God spoke and God inspired His Word. And God tells us how it all happened. And we have to have faith in that. We have to have confidence in that. We must be unflinching in our belief that God is eternal and forever. And that Genesis 1:1 is just as much God's Word, God-inspired, God's breathed Word, as John 3:16. In the beginning, God. And then we began last time considering the fact that in the beginning, yes, God was, God is eternal. In the beginning, God gave a record. God gives us His record in His Word. In the beginning, God created. That means everything. There's nothing that exists God did not create, that God did not start. The Bible tells us, look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Keep your finger there. We'll be right back to Genesis 1. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse number 3 and 4. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. The Lord our God is one Lord. The Lord our God is one. There's only one God. In the book of Isaiah chapter 45, there's three verses. In 1 Timothy 2 verse 5, and there's other verses we could go to that speaks of the fact that there is one God. God is revealed to us, and God is seen as a triune being, as a Trinity. We're going to see in a moment this morning. But that doesn't change the fact that there's only one God. And we need not confuse those things. We need to believe those things. In the beginning, God. Now back there in Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. I want to read verse 1, then I want us to jump over to verse number 26. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. In the beginning God created. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. We know this is not speaking about the physical body or the physical appearance of man. God does not have a body. God is not limited to a body. There are those religions that believe God is in a physical body and restricted by a physical body, limited by a physical body. And all of those of us who are in physical bodies are striving to become God. Or to become like God. When God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, He wasn't speaking about the physical body. More than anything, He was most likely speaking concerning the soul of man. All we have to do is turn to the book of John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse number 24, Jesus Christ declares the great truth to the Samaritan woman, God is a spirit. God is a spirit. Jesus Christ has a body, and Jesus Christ dwelt within a body. And that body is, I believe, in heaven at this very hour. But man was not created with a body to look like God, who has a body. God is a spirit. And these things are deep, and these things are difficult, and these things challenge us as far as our understanding. But what we need to do, as we've said repeatedly in the course of this study, is have faith in God's Word. God's Word tells us God is not limited to a body, but God is a spirit. I was listening to one man speak about the fact that when we think about God being a spirit, we think of, well, maybe that means he's like a vapor or like a mist. Or maybe God is like air. Well, when it tells us that God is a spirit, God was a spirit and is described as a spirit before matter was created. A mist, a vapor, any type of example we want to come up with involves matter. But God was God before matter was created. So again, God is a spirit. He's not limited to a body. He's a spirit. When we think about, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, we're talking about having man having characteristics of God. Having things that are in likeness to God. Verse 26 to 27, which we just read, we couple that with chapter 2 and verse number 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. That matter was there. God took the dust. God took dirt. The dust of the earth. And he formed man. After forming man, verse number 7 tells us, God breathed into man the breath of life. And what did man become? Man became a living soul. God formed man of the dust of the earth. Breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man was made a living soul. In the likeness of God, man was made a spiritual being. Unlike all the other of God's creations, man was made a spiritual being. Man was created, made a spiritual being. Like God, man was made an intellectual being. God was made a man, made man with intelligence. And irregardless of how you feel about animals and pets and all those things, man is different from all those in relationship to intellect. Like God, man was made a moral being. We're moral beings. Like God, of course, man was made without sin. Man was made without sin. Man was created in innocence. So man was made a living soul. He's a spiritual being, an intellectual being, a moral being created without sin, created in innocence. And in these things we could say we're like unto God, or we have the some of the characteristics of God. Man was created to reflect God's greatness. I will praise God, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made, the psalmist said. Man was created in the likeness and image of man to reflect his greatness more than any other creature that God made. Man was created to represent God on the earth. Man was created to represent God. Man was created to rule over the earth. We gave you the example that we heard in the conference recently, that when God created Adam, Adam was Lord of the earth. Twice in our reading this morning, you find that term, dominion, in verse number 1, or verse 26 and verse number 28. Regarding man, man was given dominion, authority. The first Adam was the Lord of the creation, Lord of the earth. But the devil desired to be the Lord. Man fell into sin and lost that dominion, lost that lordship. Jesus Christ, the second Adam, came along and has reclaimed that dominion, and he is Lord. He is Lord. We see as we go through the book of Revelation that he is one day going to come and show himself Lord of Lord, King of Kings. Psalms 8, I want to read this. Psalm chapter 8. Psalms, the 8th chapter, verse number 3. When I consider thy heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hath crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. God made man to rule over the earth, to have dominion over the earth. And we know man was also created to have fellowship with God. Unlike anything else God created, he created man in his image and his likeness to have communion and fellowship with him. And the vision of Scripture is God coming into the garden, as was his habit, routine, to commune with Adam and Eve. But something had changed. Adam and Eve had fallen into sin. And the fellowship man was created to have, the communion that man was created to have with God, had been lost. God had to shed the blood of those innocent animals and cover the sins of Adam and Eve. And they were cast out of the garden. So let us make man in our image after our likeness. The biblical testimony is that God made man with a uniqueness that was not present in the other things he created. Only man was created in God's image. Only mankind had God breathe life into them. We are unique. Man is unique among all the creation. Verse number 27 of our text in Genesis 1. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Male and female. Before the fall. Before the garden. When God is listing all the things that he created in Genesis 1, on the sixth day, God created man. And we're told in verse number 27 that God created man, male and female. Creating male and female was not a change in God's plan and God's purpose. Creating man as male and female was not as a result of the fall and God ordaining a different plan for man. But in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God created man in his own image and in his own likeness. And God created man male and female. That was always a part of God's plan. Always a part of God's order. And there is an emphasis in these early chapters of Genesis upon the fact that God made man and woman, male and female. That's how they were going to reproduce. That's how they were going to multiply. That's how they were going to fill the earth. We're living in the day and time where man has it in his head that rather or not he's a man or a woman, it's in his own hands, his own decision. And our government and our schools and many in the religious realm are saying, that's right, man can be whatever he wants to be. No, man and woman can be what God created them to be, rather male or female. That's God's business. And I think it's an evidence of corruption and decay and the result of sin that we're living in a day and time where right is wrong and wrong is right. Instead of believing that God created all things and God created man, male and female, it's a corruption of all God's way of doing things for us to say it's in our right. Our decision. Your children can go to school. In many places in this country. And if they don't want to be what they were born into this world as, they can choose to be different, to change. And the government says that's none of the parents' business. I'm here to tell you it is the parents' business. That's the business God has given to each and every parent. But man was created male and female. In verse number 28 of our text, and God blessed them, the man and the woman, mankind. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. In the beginning, God created. If we can get square on those first four words, the rest of the Bible, the rest of Genesis, is going to fall into place. If we can stay square on that, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth and created them male and female, and that's the charge, and that's the order, and that's the dominion that God has given to man. If we can get straight on that, some semblance of order could be restored to this world, but I don't think it's possible. We've gone too far. But God blessed the man and the woman, and God said, be fruitful. Be productive. Have babies. Don't kill them. Don't abort them. But God created man, male and female, and God blessed them, and God said, be productive. Here's an important point. I'll get back to it in a minute. Before the fall, before they're being cast out of the garden, God made mankind, male and female, bless them, and told them to go forth and be productive and have babies and have children. I think many of God's people have it in their head that God made Adam and Eve with the intention that they would live forever, only those two. They'd live forever in the garden. Nothing would ever change, and it didn't change until man sinned. That's not what the Bible shows us. God made man male and female, and God made them with the intention of being productive and having children, having other human beings. Wasn't plan B. We find it was always God's plan. He said to the man and to the woman, not only to be fruitful, but to multiply. Multiply, I think, enters the equation when you look at things generationally. The more time passes, the more generations there are, you're not having just children added, but as the generations have children, they're multiplied. The population of the world would have grown very fast with God's blessing upon it. He said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish. I told you last week what the word replenish means, as it's found here in Genesis 1. And I trust everybody here remembers what I told you. The word replenish here means to fill. Means to fill. God made man, male and female. He blessed them, told them to be fruitful, told them to multiply, and he told them to fill the earth. Fill the earth. Populate the earth. And again, this causes us to step back and say, whoa, that's not the way I thought it was supposed to be. It's supposed to be Adam and Eve in the garden forever. Well, it doesn't seem like that's biblical. Because before the fall, God blesses the man and the woman. And God says, fill the little bitty garden with as many human beings as you can. God didn't say that. God said, replenish the earth, fill the earth. There is an idea in this that says man was going to populate the whole world. And that doesn't conflict with the garden or anything the Bible tells us about the garden. In Genesis 1, you have God creating all things and God creating man, male and female. In chapter 2, there's kind of a recapitulation. That's what I was trying to think about. Chapter 2 of Genesis isn't another day of creation. It's just a recapping. A little more details of what we see in chapter 1. See, this is another one of those things that man gets himself all messed up trying to prove he's smart. He says in Genesis 1, God created man, male and female, created them. But there was this great catastrophe. Maybe when Satan fell and was cast out of heaven. But there was this great catastrophe. And in chapter 2, God had to have another day of creation. There's a technical term for that. The technical term is baloney. Everybody have the word baloney in your vocabulary? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Male and female created he them. And Genesis chapter 2 is a recapping of the creation record with some more details added for our understanding, for our blessing. God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, be multiply, replenish or fill the earth, populate the earth. And God told man, this is man's job, man's responsibility, to subdue it. Subdue the earth. Subdue means to keep it under control, bring it into subjection, bring it into bondage. Man's not in the way when it comes to creation. But man was whom all these things were created for. That's why man was last, because these were all prepared for the supporting of man's life. Man's going forth, populating the earth. God told man to subdue it. There's that last word you find in verse 26 and 27 both. Man is told to have dominion. Have dominion. Having dominion means to have authority over, manage every living thing. Man doesn't do a good job. Man, because of greed and laziness, is not a good steward. Because of man's laziness and greed and covetousness and failure to do what God tells us in His Word, the planet has many consequences, negative consequences. But none of those consequences change the fact that God placed man over the earth, gave man dominion. And we need to believe what the Bible plainly teaches us. Now there's two things I want to say in closing or in application. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. The Bible tells us, therefore God says, male and female created he them. And God said, according to scripture and the record, God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, have dominion over all the earth. In all of these truths that we're looking at in Genesis 1, Genesis 2. All of the answers that man is looking for. Maybe some of the answers you're looking for are found in these things that God is revealing to us. Man sometimes wonders who he is. Who am I? You ever wonder who you are? Man often wonders, where did I come from? You ever wonder where you came from? Man often wonders, why am I here? Who am I? Where did I come from? Why am I here? I might call these eternal questions. And this passage of Scripture in Genesis 1, 2, and 3, and on through the book of Genesis, tells us who we are. We're man. God created man, male and female, created he them. Where'd we come from? God created us. We didn't come from the pond. We didn't come from a tree. We didn't come from an animal swinging in a tree. Why am I here? We're here for God's glory. We're here to reflect God. We're here, supposed to be here, to represent God to the world. Another question that man often asks, who am I? Where did I come from? Why am I here? They're all answered in Genesis 1, in the beginning God. But many ask this question, and I think there's some here this morning who have asked this question. Where am I going? Where am I going? You wonder this morning where you're going? Who you are? Where'd you come from? Why are you here? Where are you going? All of these questions are answered in the beginning God created. And your relationship to God will determine where you're going from here. You're going to go somewhere. Sooner or later, you're going to die. Sooner or later, you're going to pass from this realm. Maybe much sooner than you realize. Sooner or later, you're going to die and pass from this earth. Well, where are you going? Put it another way, where are you going to spend eternity? Don't say it's heaven. Don't say you hope it's heaven. Don't say I'm not worried about it, it'll all work out, it'll all come out in the end. Answer that question, where are you going from here, wisely. And the only way you can know where you're going from here is if you know Jesus Christ, God's Son, whom God sent, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. Who am I? Where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? It all depends on your relationship with the God that we're speaking about. And many will disregard all of this, call it foolishness. But there's coming a day when your eyes are going to close in death. And it's no longer going to be foolishness to you. It's going to be reality. Where will you be then if you know not the one that God sent? I ask you to remember something a little while ago. I ask you to remember how that God made man male and female before the fall. I ask you to remember that thought that God made man male and female with the idea of producing and bringing forth people to populate the earth in. And The only way I can do this is to tell it to you simply, and I can't explain it theologically, and I can't take the time to tell you this is so and this is so and that's not because of this and get caught up in all those things. God never tries to do anything. Let me suffice with saying that. But as I look at the creation and man and woman being made male and female and God blessing them and God sending them forth to multiply and fill the earth, there is a light that says that God created man to live godly before him all the days of his life. And God chose to be glorified in that. But man sinned, and man fell into sin and messed up the works. But it can be seen that there was an intent, let's put it that way, that God created man, male and female, for them to have children and to be a godly people, populating the earth, bringing honor and glory to God. And if we can admit that's true, if we can see before the fall, God made man male and female with the idea of replenishing and filling the earth and having children and multiplying, etc., etc. If we can acknowledge that all those things can be seen, at least by intent, then we have to be able to see that God is glorified in godly living today. And God has always been glorified with godly living. Be ye holy as I am holy. Be ye holy for I am holy. God created man in his own image without sin. In innocence. He made them male and female and he sent them forth to multiply and to replenish the earth. And you can see in all that God being glorified by godly living, the lives of godly people. And I don't want to tinker with great theological truths. But you could see there the possibility of man dwelling all over the face of the earth and sin not having been introduced. Just multitudes of people living godly lives, bringing honor and glory to God. With the fall and the sin out of the equation. And if that is possible in the realm of our understanding, then we need to realize that God created us, God created men to live godly lives for his honor and his glory. And instead of fighting against it, we ought to willingly live godly, holy lives for the honor and glory of the Lord, because there was a day when man had no sin and could have just in godliness brought honor and glory to the Lord. That they let the devil get in the door, ruin it all. It's possible to live godly lives in this present evil world, and God would desire that. And for the honor and glory of the Lord, we should do that. Let's stand together.